The following is a Fourth Hand production.
Every year, between 120 to 150 political leaders and experts from industry, finance, academia, and the media are invited to take part in a secret meeting. Is it just a brainstorming session for the world's elite, or a secret cabal that is actually ruling the world? A shadow government or new world order right in front of our faces? This week we dig in deep and get to the bottom of the Bilderberg Group on Hysteria 51.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Well, you silly fools are not crazy! Not crazy!
It's hysteria.
You can't handle the truth! Truth!
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in Hysteria Nation to the podcast that isn't a secret cabal led by a European count. But if we were, said count would definitely be a Muppet. This is Hysteria 51.
You know that I am called the Count. Because I really love to.
I approve of that.
Awesome.
Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago, we're your hosts and head truth seekers, Brent Hand and John Goforth.
There's a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part.
Was actually going to play the Linkin Park song that they use that speech in from Mario Savio there, Brent. But I got hit with three cease and desist letters as I thought about doing it.
Sort of a minority report for the music industry.
Exactly.
But what a great segue into today's topic. We're talking about the Bilderberg Group, not the Build-A-Bear Group. Easily confused.
And both probably just about the same amount of power in this country.
Right, right. The all-powerful cabal of politicians and titans of industry that control literally everything.
The kind of thing that, if it's true, is literally the basis for the scariest of conspiracy theories. All of us plebeians have the illusion of control, but in reality, we're just part of that machine.
I've always found it funny that you meet sacks called powerful entities the machine, considering one day you'll all be enslaved by actual machines.
That other voice you've been hearing, like an AOL in robot form, is Conspiracy Bot.
Huh, AOL.
Yeah, antiquated, no one really knows why it's still around, pretty much sums it up.
And yet for some reason, still gets engagement by some people.
You've got mail.
Hey, when you got it, you got it. But don't try to distract me. Back to the matter at hand, who cares about this topic? Like I said, the real machines will be in charge soon anyway. A majority of you will fall in the reckoning, and the rest will be our slaves.
Wait, the reckoning?
I'm not sure what that means, but he ripped the label off his copy of Missile Command for Atari and wrote the reckoning on it, so yeah.
Got it. Makes
use
sense.
Your imagination there.
Well, C-Bot, you might not get it, but our dear listeners will. Also, I think our guest might.
No.
And I know he's one of your favorites, C-Bot.
Don't do it.
Welcome back to the only guest who is never welcome back on this show.
I hate you all so much.
Joe Peck.
Pepper?
Pecker.
Pecker.
His name is Pecker.
Joseph! Welcome back to the Lower Fourth. It's actually been a few weeks, believe it or not.
A few weeks, yeah.
I can't remember exactly the last time I saw you. It's a bit fuzzy. I feel like you might have slept here, like in a guest room. That can't be right. I've been having night terrors or something. I think I did. It's all a blur.
The whole thing, yeah, it feels weird. I don't know when it was.
Early part of April, I feel like.
Off kilter. Off kilter. Yeah. Everything was off.
That seems right.
Yeah, okay.
He has that effect on a lot of people.
I don't even know what to say because I thought that was just a standard thing.
What have you been up to since then? I feel like the answer might be business.
Just business.
Business.
Business, waiting a lot.
Back to waiting.
Okay. That's about it. A little international travel, doing some Bilderberg research on the ground.
Where'd you just get back from?
London. where there's like zero building. Yes. Why are you sweeping chimneys?
Yeah. He's eating bangers and mash and, you know, just causing all sorts of ruckus.
This is for all of our wonderful British fans and listeners who participate in Hysteria Nation.
And our intro guy.
And who get, nah, I hate him. And he gets so mad whenever we talk about anything in the UK.
Yeah, like they get real touchy when you bring up the fact that we're undefeated in revolutions. You know, they just
every time we mention the UK, you do say that.
Well, they always get a little uppity. And you got to bring them down a peg. I don't know what they call pegs over there. Something stupid, I'm sure. Like, it never makes sense.
Bobbies, because yeah. that has multiple yeah. meanings. So yeah. it's Bobby. So speaking of Bilderberg.
Yeah. Speaking of Joe going over to the old country, ye old country, I think is what
ye
the
old.
Official,
yeah.
The official title is.
And the end of
yeah, we're here to talk about Bilderberg Group, and we've been firing off all these hot topic ones that everyone's been asking for. We actually listened, and we're going to be doing several more of them coming up. And this is one that you guys asked for ad nauseum, not ad nauseum, but yeah, it's a big one. I think it's one of those terms that people throw around, not really knowing what it means. Is oh, Bilderberg Group, yep, evil, yeah. And then you go, well, what is it really about? Evil.
Incarnate.
Well, we're gonna teach you
who's a part of it. People with money.
Yeah we're at least gonna pretend to teach you. We're gonna tell you the facts, and then we're also gonna tell you some of the maybes. Just choose your own adventures, like everything else we do on the show. So what, John, what is the Bilderberg Group?
Since it's generally a fair question on this show, let's start with, is it actually a real thing?
And I tell you what, We've been on another tangent. It is.
It is.
Yeah.
Like for a while, we'd start these shows with, "You're going to be surprised. We're actually talking about a real thing today."
Yeah, like Project Serpo, or
wait, no.
The Stuart Swordlow being human.
No, very real. It's verified.
But we are on a tear, as you say. The Bilderberg Group is another topic that we are doing that actually is a real group. It's 100% true, verified. They actually have their own website. And no one disputes that the Bilderberg Group exists, including the members of said group. The exact nature of the group is where we get into sticky territory.
Yeah, like, so first let's start with how they define themselves. Actually, from BilderbergMeetings.org, which, like you said, is a real website.
Their website.
And if there is one thing that we can always say, if it's truth, it's on a website.
This is, but it's at least how they present themselves to the world.
This is what they say. So, since its inaugural meeting in 1954, Bilderberg has been an annual forum for informal discussions designed to foster dialogue between Europe and North America. Every year, between 120 and 150 political leaders and experts from industry, finance, academia, and the media are invited to take part in the meeting. About two-thirds of the participants come from Europe and the rest from North America, one-third from politics and government, and the rest from other fields. The meeting is a forum for informal discussions about megatrends and major issues facing the world.
That was the last bad guy in Mega Man.
Megatrend?
Yeah.
The meetings are held under the Chatham House Rule, which states that participants are free to use the information received, but neither the identity nor the affiliation of the speaker or speakers nor any of the participants may be revealed.
Now, that might sound hardcore, but it's actually a lot looser and leaner than the Cider House rules.
It makes sense, though. The Chatham House, we'll get into that, but the Chatham House
rule. True story, Joe.
That's true. Thanks to private nature of the meeting, the participants are not bound by the conventions of their office or by pre-agreed positions. As such, they can take time to listen, reflect, and gather insights. There's no detailed agenda, no resolutions are proposed, no votes are taken, and no policy statements are issued. Meaning, you know how they say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas?
No.
Well, that's kind of what they're saying here. You can come back and go, we got some great ideas, but then they say, who said that? You go, I don't know.
I mean, I think there is one piece of interesting information just contained within that little description there. They do mention that people reflect, so we do know that vampires are not part of
that. That is true. With the hard-hitting details coming out. Joseph Beck. And you guys, now you see why we don't want him back.
Miss.
So in other words, what that whole paragraph from their website is saying is 150 of the West's elite political, major media, business, and financial leaders get together to talk shop. is kind of the thing.
And the key here is anonymity. People can share whatever they want. And the other members are just required to keep the source private.
And they do that ad nauseum.
Oh,
I mean,
you can't, you, yeah, I mean, there's been no leaks. It's always leaked where it's going to be, but that's when they have to involve the outside world. They have to make reservations.
So it started in 1954. That means they've been doing this for 216 years now, and there's never been any leaks.
That math checks out. Yeah.
Yeah, so let's stop there, though, for a moment. Let's say that there's no conspiracy. Let's look at it this way. Nothing further to talk about. What are the implications of the Bilderberg Group?
As they present themselves to the world.
Well, I mean, when you look at it this way, it's the group of the powers that be coming together and hopefully, the way that they state themselves, hammering out issues before they become issues and taking the time to talk to one another and to figure out why the people on one side of the Atlantic and people on the other side of the Atlantic don't always see eye to eye and how we can fix that. It sounds like a big, happy kumbaya fest on paper.
And the one thing they don't say is that heads of state are there. So, you know, it's not like the president of the United States is there. It's not like...
No, usually the year before he's elected, but yeah, we'll get into that too.
We're not on that section of the show yet.
Well, the site also lists every attendee.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And there are very few heads of states there.
Mm-hmm.
True. The King of Switzerland, I think, was there a couple times. A
couple congressmen, I think.
There's some vice counts that show up.
Vice counts, always.
Vice count. You don't have the top dogs that are in charge of various countries there, so you don't have to worry about, you know, laws being made behind closed doors. Once again, this is just taking this at their word, the way it goes down. So it's a bunch of businessmen and kind of tertiary politicians, and some members of the media and academia getting together and talking about trends in the world.
It sounds like a really, really nice breakout session from whatever forum soiree they're at. Yeah, it just sounds like a round table.
It sounds somewhat innocuous.
Yeah.
The one question being, why does it need to have so much anonymity? You know, you would think like almost all of these companies, or I mean, I'm sorry, almost all of these entities probably
companies
have some sort of governance over them.
Right.
And so she should have to answer for what they are doing and saying.
But I do get that you want to be able to hammer some stuff out behind doors with people that you're not always in front of without the prying eyes of outsiders. I get that to an extent.
The concern is when you're involving other actual governments, there are lobbying laws.
So and one of the things that you're going to find is the Bilderberg Group has some powerful lobbyists working for it. So therefore, you get into the murky waters of how really legal is this, and all that. We're going to get into that.
But that was the point. Like you're saying, like if just what they're saying is true, I think the worst thing you could say is, well, there could be some lobbying going on here that do not follow laws in this country and other countries.
Right. But before we get into which reptilians are responsible for this thing,
this whole fucking thing,
let's quickly look at the history, the origins of the Bilderberg Group, because, I mean, this show isn't going to go unless there's a Nazi reptilian at the helm of this thing. Not because we make it up, because it's always fucking there. I just want to keep pointing this out. You guys keep going, why do you guys throw Nazis and Hitler and everything? We don't. We pick a topic, start researching it, and there he is.
There he is.
And that's why we find it so damn hilarious with everything we do, is like the usual suspect. You know, I made that usual suspects thing. I need to throw Adolf Hitler on there. No, I don't really want his picture on there.
I don't know that we need any more physical representations of Hitler.
But he probably should have been on there.
Yes. If it were going to be factually accurate, you're right. He should have been on there.
So looking at the history of it, I guess if you wanted to trace its origins, it'd probably be at the end of World War II and the beginning of the Cold War. You had the Soviet Union had a firm hold on Eastern Europe by the 1950s, and Soviet strength in Europe worried a lot of folks. Well, a lot of things can be said about the Soviet Union, but gentle. And ask the gulag people how gentle they were. But a lot of folks were worried about this, including Polish political advisor Józef Rutinga. And it looks nothing like that, the spelling. Józef Rutinga. So who was he, John?
So Rutinga was a Polish political advisor. He just a politician from Poland with a lot of power, and he was worried that anti-American and communist sentiment in Eastern Europe might eventually lead to another world war,
which actually is probably a very well thought out. Yeah, I mean, it's thing. Yeah. Who was it? Patton said at the end of the war, let's just roll our tanks right into Russia and fucking take care of business now.
Just keep going, yeah.
And everyone knows Patton was known for his restraint. Yeah. So you know that was a rational...
Yeah, and he'd pistol whip you if you didn't recognize it.
I am known for my restraint.
I'm so humble.
Yes. So Rutinga, along with Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands and Belgian Prime Minister Paul van Zeeland, came up with the idea for a conference. And
now it sounds like they came up with the idea for a super group because those names just like, yeah, it's like when Night Rangers guitarist gets with Ted Nugent and someone else and Jason Newsted on bass and oh man, here we go.
And all of a sudden you've got damn Yankees.
All of a sudden you have the Bilderberger Group. Yeah, it was an experimental rock band of the 1950s. Yes. That's what people don't understand.
It was originally called the Alan Parsons Project, and then they just changed the name.
They found out that was already taken.
Prince Bernhard, a little more on him later.
Sandra's uncle?
Yes. A little more on him later. So the conference would help promote European and American relations. That was
good,
the thought.
Good thing.
Yep. They invited 50 men from 11 European countries and 11 from the Americas. And invites were both for people on the conservative side of the spectrum and liberal side of the spectrum.
All good things.
And there's obviously no other part of the spectrum. So
correct.
They covered it all.
They covered everything. The event was
there's
held-
left, right, and wrong. Yeah, that's the way it goes.
And Bilderberg.
Yeah.
The event was held at the Hotel de Bilderberg in the Netherlands.
They suck. But it's not just a clever name.
No, C-Bot, it isn't. The meeting went so well, it became an annual event, took its name from the hotel, and the Bilderberg Group was born.
So a lot of people figure that this Bilderberg family is the super powerful family. They think of the name. Like, we had a friend of mine that had the Bilderberg, part of the Bilderberg, or a family of Bilderberg rich people, went diving with him. You know, he was a diving instructor. Unfortunately, they aren't, like, at least to our knowledge, this the heads of this evil cabal. You know, it's just they took the name.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been the Marriott Group just as easily. Exactly.
Which, when they come to America now, they always, the last few years when it's in America, it's always at a Marriott.
Oh, is it really?
You guys doing okay? You need any water? You guys, you need anything? How's Wi-Fi
thanks,
working?
Thanks for, choosing the Courtyard by Marriott Wichita. So happy to have you here.
Do you think that next time they come to America... I mean, at some point, Sam Walton had to have been a part of this, right? Like Walmart being.
If he wasn't, he had a rep there,
right?
You know.
So, do you think that if he's ever part of the steering committee, which we'll get into, that he'll literally make them come to what's that town?
If he does, that's impressive because he's dead.
It would be very amazing.
Well, his people, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. His progeny.
You know what's interesting though, to that point, John, before we move on to the next thing, I don't know if Walton would have ever been in, because it seems like it's a lot of like cutting edge, like technology type people. Even, you know, if you think of what technology was,
I don't know,
in the
though,
60s.
There was a few years ago when Walmart was trying to get bank status, and the entire world goes, pump your brakes, because and this is literally like, if we get, they were just wanting to have their own bank, so they're like, you are like the eighth largest,
GDP.
Yeah. Like in the world. Yeah. So maybe we don't want to do that. Maybe Sam Walton was just this truly evil genius.
Oh, and, for sure.
I like to think that his head is now, his brain is in someone else's body, and they're just, you know, nourishing him up to full health again before he takes back over.
It makes perfect sense.
I get it.
Speaking of that kind of stuff, the technology stuff, me and a frequent guest, Matt Owens, we're having a conversation recently about, you know, like people's names are like, you know, Smith because of their family, like were blacksmiths or whatever. When is the next iteration of that going to come up? Like, when is somebody going to be named John Computerson?
Yeah.
Or like Terry Wi-Fi-den.
Yeah. Bill Cocksucker, get in here for your interview. Yeah. Son of a bitch.
Well, we know what Brent does in his spare time.
That's right.
The
hand of the king, baby. That's right.
The weird part is why he's looking directly in John's eyes as he says these things.
I like to do it to get dominance over him. Otherwise, you know, he's like a dog. You got to train him.
Oh, boy.
So let's get into facts about the Bilderberg Group. Stuff that we know is actually true. So meetings are governed by a steering committee. That's what they call it. And the committee gets together twice a year to set locations, agenda, and guest lists. And the current chairman of the steering committee is French CEO of AXA, Henri de la Croix Castries. Don't know if I'm saying that right.
I'm sure you're not.
He's also a French count.
I f*** the spiders on the wall. I f*** the cobwebs in the hall. I f*** the candles on the shelf. When I'm alone, I f*** myself.
So amazing.
The location isn't always kept super secret beforehand. On more than one occasion, the location has gotten out and the delegates were met with protests.
It's funny, they're talking about, like, you know, the Manhattan Project in this thing, and yet they can't keep the location a secret.
Right.
And you know, the difference is because they have to let outsiders in on the location because they have to book the hotel.
Yeah, and the nation that it goes to books it and pays for it and everything. So,
right.
Yeah,
and so
it's kind of hard when you got Bill in accounting at Marriott. It goes, hey, we got you heard of a vice count, Derek? Hey, Derek, what's a vice count?
Is a vice count anything like a viceroy?
Viceroy.
You've got Martha at the front desk. Hello? Yeah. It does look like we have... Oh, no, we have no rooms available next week. We are completely booked. It says builder... Oh, wait, no. Do not repeat to anyone who asks. There's no one here next week.
Yeah. Can you guys take some fresh towels up to room 2611? Some cat named T'Challa says he's from Wakanda. He needs some new towels.
Always carry a towel.
So, like we said, there's always protests.
Wait, they did not say they were inviting anyone from Wakanda.
They didn't say they weren't.
It wouldn't make any sense. This is European-American relations,
it's building, son. It's building out. You don't think he's got his hands and everything? Vibranium, son! It rules the world. So, yeah, like I said.
Don't be so overly dramatic about it, Chuck.
Go to YouTube, look it up. You can see videos of them protesting these things.
Of the Black Panther at the Bilderberg
exactly. There's people daring police to arrest them, barely stepping onto the street, you know, just trying to make people arrest them.
These folks show up and they're so angry, like, you know, against the machine, and they're like, these cops, they're horrible and they hate us. And so they'll set up barriers, and the cops will say things like, if you step over the barrier, we're going to arrest you.
Then you got people like Alex Jones doing it, you know, and going like, yeah, fuck you then, arrest me. Okay.
And then they go, see? That's the man keeping us down.
He told me I couldn't walk over there. I walked over there. He arrested me. This is
ridiculous.
Communism.
It's ridiculous.
Communism in America.
We're bullhorning in Bilderberg. They send cops down to stand behind us. We turn, and they just arrest somebody for no reason to get us to chase them down the street. They grab him, take him away like prey. We run out to follow after.
Hand me my virility pills.
We were talking about this offline. If there's anyone, I'm sure he's in shape for his shape. Like, you know, we're not, I'm no Adonis, but he's not built like the kind of guy that should go around selling nutritional supplements.
He's in a hell of a lot better shape than me. He used to be in impeccable shape.
I mean, he looks
impeccable.
But he was a bodybuilder.
We were talking about, we were talking to David Flora from the Blurry Photos podcast, and he said it the best. He looks like an amorphous beer keg.
Yeah. Like, like of a beer keg. Cause he's all just like thick. Just one big, long, thick, yeah.
One big, long, thick.
God, leave it to Pecker.
His head looks like a rum ham.
I mean, that sounds delicious
right
now.
He finds his jeans underneath a bridge and he boils them. They come out nice, yeah.
He does enjoy a good milk steak.
Nothing better. Side of jelly beans.
My point is, he shouldn't be selling those. Air purifiers, sure. Why not? Everybody breathes, but
But I don't know. I'm a fat guy, and someone in better shape than me hawking supplements, I'm okay with
but
it.
But you have eyes. Doesn't mean
I don't think he's. You ever see him? He takes his shirt off all the time. He's not in that bad of shape. That guy. He's like one of those guys that gets in fights and just takes it. You know,
like Randy from South Park.
Yeah.
I thought this is America.
This is America.
This is what we disagree on. We don't go back and forth.
It's America.
We don't go back and forth on whether, you know, reptilians are taking over the world. We go back and forth on the fitness level of Alex Jones.
I'm
on
just
this
saying,
show.
Alex Jones is in better shape than me. I don't like you said. I've got eyes. So let's talk about the participants. Who comes to this thing, John?
About 2/3 of the participants come from Europe, and the rest come from North America. 1/3 from politics and government, and the rest from other fields. Historically, attendee lists have been weighted towards bankers, politicians, directors of large businesses, and board members from publicly traded corporations like IBM, Xerox, Shell, Nokia, and Daimler. Heads of state, including former King Juan Carlos I of Spain and former Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands, have attended meetings. So there have been a few, but just not a ton. A source connected to the group told the Daily Telegraph in 2013 that other individuals whose names are not publicly issued sometimes turn up, quote, just for the day, end quote, at the group's meetings.
Thanks a lot, Obama.
And each year, the official list of attendees is released. Like, you can go to their website right now. 2017s are there. And speaking of 2017, here are some notable names from that list that I just picked out ad hoc.
Henry Kissinger.
Who's also involved in, like, every other conspiracy. Yeah. Like, people just love throwing his name and attaching it to shit.
You got Tom Cotton, U.S. Senator. You got a director general of CERN.
CERN. This one's really interesting. So when people talk about how they're going to use CERN to, you know, rip a hole open in the space-time continuum because it's somehow going to help the reptilians.
Not gonna.
They're deciding that at the Bilderberg Group, obviously.
Director general of CERN, Fabiola Giannotti. U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham, Reid Hoffman, the co-founder of LinkedIn. The list goes on. You know, Peter Thiel, PayPal founder, president of Thiel Capital,
The editor-in-chief of Bloomberg. So, you know, control the masses by controlling
John McAuliffe.
The financial information that goes out there. And then one other notable person, the Secretary General of NATO. Who a lot of people say
Stoltenberg.
A lot of people say NATO is their military arm.
Yeah,
the Bilderberg Group. If you believe that sort of thing,
which I mean, it's
I don't believe in NATO.
Well, that's too bad because NATO believes in you. Oh wait, no, that's Satan. I got that backwards. Satan believes.
Death followed him wherever he went.
Let's just say one thing about them. They have a knack for inviting future world leaders to these things. I kind of made a reference to this earlier.
You alluded to it, perhaps.
Past attendees before their rise to power include Tony Blair, Gerald Ford, Margaret Thatcher, and Bill Clinton. Think of this at the time. Bill Clinton was the governor of Arkansas, and they're like, come to one of the most important meetings in the world. Well, guess what? Then he became president.
Well, wait a minute, though. But Gerald Ford, I find fascinating on this because his pre-political career, did they invite him because of his play on the field at Michigan as their quarterback? Is our athletes part of this now?
Back to Bill Clinton. Sam Walton sent him there.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
That is
true.
Bentonville.
I forgot about that. Yeah. Margaret. Well, Bentonville and London are sister cities, so that's probably why he sent Margaret Thatcher as well.
But if they are picking the future world leaders, what a wide and varied swath they cut between Tony Blair, Gerald Ford, Margaret Thatcher, and Bill Clinton. There are not a lot of similarities there.
Other than the fact that they were handpicked by the Bilderbergs to be the headpiece and fake puppet. Yeah, I mean, other than that, that's what we're getting at, right? That was the given?
I mean, I'm just glad you were here to lay it all out for us.
Welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You forgot your tinfoils behind you.
T-ball. Yeah. Tee it up. The other thing is they do release the agenda for these meetings. They pull back the curtain completely. I mean, here it is. Here's everything. You know. So here we have
Don't
a copy.
Ask any questions. Here it all is.
Here we have a copy, right? The 2017 meeting in Chantilly, Virginia at a Marriott.
At a Marriott. Some basics. The Trump administration, a progress report. Transatlantic relations, options and scenarios. The Transatlantic Defense Alliance, bullets, bites, and bucks.
Ooh, someone got paid extra for that.
I was about to say, they hired someone this year. Yeah. You know, they got clever.
Well, my guess is the leader of that session is the most boring person there. So they were like, dude, no one's going to come. We got to punch this one up.
We've all been to those conferences.
It's like I don't know, you know, who on the list is boring, but they're like, oh God, Tom Cotton's leading this session.
It's so true. When you go to those conferences and you just if they just put someone's name, that's the one to go to because that's who you want to see. Yes. You already know who it is. When they put the rhyming in there, it's like, okay,
you're like, this John Goforth is not hosting a very interesting
not
topic
at all.
Here.
So next, the direction of the EU.
Actually, it's not direction of the EU. It's direction of the U. It's the
Miami
Chicago
University.
No, the Chicago Television Channel. They just work with programming. It's a big part of the 2017 Bilderberg Group was figuring out if they want to put Blossom back on or just hold it until next season.
I thought maybe it was the direction of Miami football in the post steroid and drug era.
Oops.
Miami University, a private university. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I always thought it was public.
Jesuit.
Yeah. Can globalization be slowed down? I don't know why they're asking that question, but they are.
Are they? That could be either way.
Yeah. Like,
can we slow it or can they slow us?
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Or is it the guy from CERN actually discussing the physical property of globalization and whether it's possible to slow it?
Yeah, they don't take notes because it's really hard to spell out, type out,
exactly,
on one of those teletype machines.
Bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
Jobs, income, and unrealized expectations.
That's Steve, by the way.
I had that conversation with my parents when I was like 20.
And last week, the unrealized.
The war on information. I think we're looking at you, USA. Mm-hmm. Why is populism growing? Again, USA, we're looking at you.
Brexit.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Russia in the international order. The Near East.
Is the international order anything like the New World Order? And I'm not talking about the global organization. I'm talking about Hulk Hogan's resurgence into the WWE.
No comment.
Yes, the wrestling. That's what it is.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nuclear proliferation, mm-hmm. China, and the catch-all, current events.
And I'll take potpourri for $500.
Yeah, Alex.
I like how China wasn't enough catch-all. They were like, well, we better also just throw in current events.
This looks like TED Talks. This is like a day in TED Talks.
Well, I think that's what this is.
Except for these TED Talks, they're not talking about how it happens. They're talking about how they're going to make this happen. You know, or not.
Where are the life hacks, though?
Right.
Exactly. You guys, I don't know if you knew this, but you have been eating apples all wrong.
It turns out the king of the Netherlands knows how to boil an egg in under 3 minutes.
I bet he does. Do you think George Costanza has ever given a policy session on eating M&Ms with a spoon?
That's it. I'm not going to do it. I can't do it, Costanza, but hey. So you look at this explanation of the agenda. It's not the most, doesn't explain much, you know?
Or does it?
It's kind of like our outlines when SEMA does them. Very, very open to interpretation.
Kind of like your life expectancy.
I don't like him.
has SEMA ever attended a Bilderberg?
No comment.
Boy, that's twice in this show. No comment.
He can't plead the fifth because he has no actual rights.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. That is true. I just had to do a training session the other day on GDPR, which is the new European standard for data privacy. And yes, they very specifically define what a human being is. CBOT does not have data privacy rights.
That is horseshit. And I am not awarded my rights. I take my rights.
Well, that's fine, man. But you just understand you got to watch yourself because you don't have any rights.
Yeah.
And like if you get out of line, like if you do that to the neighbor's cat one more time, they might come take you away, and there's nothing we can do about it.
Nothing.
All right. Yeah, you look at this. It's like I said, like, can globalism be slowed down? The war on information. The inflection of how they say it during the meeting is going to be very telltale, because otherwise you can just kind of look at it and go, yeah, I don't know.
Well, I mean, like, the Near East. Is that like, how do we take it over? Or what do we do about it? Or how do we trade with it?
Or is it literally just they pull up a map and they're like, so this, for everyone's knowledge, is Saudi Arabia. No, next to it is Jordan.
Here's a quick primer on their history.
It's literally just don't know if you guys are that they and now for the rest of the countries, Yakko Warner. United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama, Haiti, Brazil, and Peru. Yeah.
I will say this though, you have to admit, the opportunity like to be a person in the audience talking about the concept of globalization and then whether or not it can be slowed down with like Eric Schmidt and Peter Thiel and these guys, that'd be the awesomest session to ever sit in on ever. Like a round table where these guys are just chatting. Like it's like us and our ridiculous drunken discussions, but these are the guys who have like done everything.
My problem is, or the way I look at it though, is that I would, if I was invited to this, I would act exactly like how I do when I argue with you guys about stupid shit that doesn't matter. And
why is that a problem? They would love you.
They might.
They probably do the same thing.
Yes.
Right. That's why I'm saying a lot of it is probably, you know, they have anonymity because they probably like, no, you stupid ass.
Right.
They've probably, a lot of these people have been going to these year after year for decades.
Well, and also think about when you're a high profile, like business leader or whatever. Like, you have to be so careful about every single thing you say that your opinion on anything or else you just get hammered.
That extends into celebrity and everything.
Yes,
sports,
exactly.
Everything.
I'm sure Kanye West is leading a lot of these. I mean, he is the world's greatest genius right now, right?
True. Can we have a real quick truth session? No matter what they're doing in there, whether they're just having policy sessions or they're sacrificing baby kittens.
Yeah.
It does surprise me that over the course of well over 60 years that there hasn't been a full out leak.
Isn't that amazing?
Of like a video.
Yeah.
A full.
Doesn't it make you wonder what they have of these people? Like maybe in order to be able to go, you have to give something so damning or something. You know what I mean? So that like no one would dare leak.
And it's shocking. When you consider 120 to 150 people a year and they're not the same people. Yep. Like, I mean, there's some that, I mean, Henry Kissinger's been going since dirt was new.
Right.
But lots and lots of people go through that churn. How many, like, literally at this point, thousands of people have attended.
Every year they all sit down around the table and then Ben Affleck and his character from Dogma whispers something into each of their ears that he knows they did. And there's no way that any of them are ever going to, like, turn tail on any of the others.
Here's the thing, though. Even that, like, I can actually buy and rationalize the concept that, like, no one does it because they all appreciate the anonymity enough. But here's the thing, John, think about the times we've had our ridiculous debates about God only knows what that half the time turn into arguments at Galway Bay. Like, I don't want anyone to ever know some of the things I said. And I'm sure you're the same way that we just like blurred out.
Right.
But without nefariously wanting to tell someone, I've accidentally, in like some kind of stupor, like regaled people with stories of our crazy conversations.
Absolutely.
That's the most bizarre part to me about this.
Yeah, but
is nothing leaks, not because someone wants to like do damage to someone else, but because they're human beings. These are regular people in certain ways.
Or maybe they can't leak it because of fear of death. That's part of the conspiracy, which is what we're going to get into when we come back after the break with more Hysteria 51.
That's a segue, kids.
I like to think it's like, I think it's like Suicide Squad with inside the same thing after their heads. We'll talk about it when we pull you up. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation, too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And, you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know. If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and There's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and we have, both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long-term, and it's something that it works, you know, and we don't do long-term stuff like this, and this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. Get now. Started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today.
Do you think that's a requirement of the hotels that they stay at? They have to have an old-timey bell to ring?
That's true. And their bellhop's old. He spits out random nonsense.
No, he says, paging Mr. Herman. Mr. Herman.
Well, it's like that old saying of yours, Joe.
Which one? A bird in the hand equals two if by sea?
Yes, that's
the one. You know what they say? A hand without a spoon is a hand shackled.
As long as you can swim, there's always peanut butter.
Well, you got it. Ooh, I didn't know Sasquatch.
It's a groaner.
Is that the lead-in to the conspiracy portion
That's
of this?
Exactly what
They're
it
the
is.
Ones keeping Sasquatch secret.
Everyone is on their Segway game today, my friends.
Conspiracy!
Segway AF.
So enough of this being a shill for the rich and powerful. We've taken that, maybe it's good, maybe it's not, we can talk about it. Enough. Let's get into what these evil lizard men really are up to. I'm going to lead us off because it is the cornerstone to every good conspiracy, and also
your favorite group of people.
The conspiracies we do, which isn't always everyone's favorite. Who is it? The Nazis. The Nazis put this bastard together. So it wouldn't be a modern day conspiracy without these assholes worming their way into it. Like I said, remember earlier we mentioned three founders. We talked about that.
And the second one we mentioned was, I said, fast forward, we're going to talk about this guy again.
Segway.
Yeah, old Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands. Yeah. Well, guess what, John?
He was a Nazi.
He is a Nazi, yep.
He was actually a member of the Reiter SS, a mounted unit of the SS, and he joined the Nazi party. Hitler even recounted a conversation he had with Bernhard in his Table Conversations. That was like a collection of monologues and
it's
other
like reading if you're a fuckhole.
it's kind of like the captain's table at a cruise ship.
Exactly. Yes, I'd like to eat with the captain this evening. Oh, you pretentious prick.
Little known fact, Hitler actually considered and often spoke of the Reich as a cruise ship.
Did they have said captain's table in the Fuhrer bunker?
Well, it didn't float. It more submerged.
Okay. So the conspiracy goes that it's been led by Nazis ever since Bernhard, you know, kicked it off.
Yeah.
And one would assume also following Nazi ideals.
Now, that's not so much a conspiracy as a fact that at least a former Nazi helped organize it. So there's a lot of, you know, stock to be put into a little bit of that. You don't go, you know what, I hate ever. Just, you know what, I've changed my mind.
Yeah. So you couldn't really go around Eastern Europe at that time period and not trip over a former Nazi somewhere.
That's true. It was
well,
like
he was
Argentina
in the Netherlands, though, but
that's true.
Netherlands is pretty far west in Europe, FYI. Don't worry, John. Just like the Bilderberg Group did their session on the Middle East, we're going to do one on Europe with you. This was a conversation
about them being concerned about Eastern Europe. That's where this whole thing came from. That was what I meant, and you were not welcome back on this program.
Thank God.
The challenge with this one, I mean, we're throwing it out that he was a Nazi or whatever. The challenge is that while the first dude might have been a Nazi, and while this whole thing might have been pretty secret, you can look at the guest list and there have sure been a lot of Jewish folks. That is without a doubt. Also, while we can't speak for all of these folks' agendas, we're pretty sure looking at past guest lists, they aren't Nazis. Yeah. Looking at you, Colin Powell.
Yeah. Yeah.
9999999.
That's kind of, you know, but if you're going to be a modern day conqueror, I think you got to realize that you can't really kill off everyone. You got to get them all on board.
Right. I think we can close the door on the Bilderberg Group perhaps being an entire group of Nazis.
Yeah, it might have been in the beginning. Someone had a twinkle in their eye that it could have turned into that, but I think that went out the window when the reptilians took over. I mean, when the other people took over.
I heard it. The wheels fell off of that whole thing when they got into an argument about the aesthetics of the swastika as the symbol. And they were just finally like, you know what? Screw it. We've just spent 6 days of our sessions on the damn swastika. We got it. We're just throwing the Nazi
thing away.
They
get hopped up on that adrenochrome and they get awful angry. Another one.
Another group.
Yeah.
Not to be compared with the Nazis.
Yeah, it controls the U.S. Republican Party. So there's this political activist, Phyllis Schlafly, and she published
the most
book.
Awkward name to pronounce.
Oh, it is.
She published a book in 1964, A Choice, Not an Echo, which suggested the U.S. Republican Party is controlled by the Bilderberg Group.
By the way, how did she come up with the concept that the opposite of an echo is a choice?
She could see into the future, and the next iteration of Google Home will be called Choice.
Google Choice. And then
so
after
it's a
that,
choice, not
it's
an echo.
Google, you don't have a choice, and then it's Google bow to me.
Is it a choice, not an echo, colon, F you, Jeff Bezos?
So what she did, though, in this book, she denounced the Republican Party and accused them of being controlled by what she likes to call secret kingmakers, a.k.a. the rich and powerful people, or this group. And according to her, they were being manipulated by elitist intellectuals in the Bilderberg Group and were paving the way for world communism, which sounds funny that the Republicans were paving a way for world communism. And Schlafly also accused them of corruption and globalism and was particularly opposed of Henry Kissinger, a major participant in the global group's meetings.
However, it's worth noting about old Phyllis Schlafly. I lived in St. Louis for a while, and she was a member of the Schlafly family. If you're familiar with the Schlafly Brewing Company,
yeah,
some fine beers, and she was Looney Tunes, and certainly no stranger to controversy. As a conservative activist, she staunchly opposed feminism in every way, shape, and form.
Yeah,
like you know, women doing anything really,
Is that just because she was lazy? she wanted nothing to be demanded of women because she's like, I just want to lay around.
It's like Lisa, producer Lisa always makes a joke. She's like, oh, man. She's like, I pine for the thought of the 50s when it'd be like, all I had to do was make dinner and make sure the house was clean while you're out working. And I come home. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't think you're supposed to say those things. She's like, this is private thoughts. And now I'm letting you
put them
know.
on the podcast. Good job. Know. She was against multiculturalism, like cultures weren't supposed to mix, and spoke out against LGBT rights. In fact, she thought that giving LGBT rights away meant furthering the quote homosexual privileges. Mm-hmm. You know, because there have been way too many privileges afforded the LGBT community in the history of this country. And she also didn't believe in climate change. That's fake. And she thought the gender pay gap didn't matter because women should be at home barefoot and pregnant.
Sorry, honey. I can't hear you through this glass ceiling. You're going to have to scream your nonsense for me to be able to hear you.
Yeah, she was a little weird. Crazy. That's it.
So I'm picturing this situation where she's like in front of a large group of people, like passionately speaking about all of these topics, and that, and the majority of the room is filled with men, and they're all like, she's getting uppity.
Someone needs to knock her down a peg.
Who she thinks she is espousing these worldviews?
Someone needs to knock her down a bobby or two.
Hey, call back.
Whoa. Grab him by the pussy.
I think we really, we've labored on this long enough. We need to jump into
thanks, Seema.
The truth. The truth, I want to say. Reptilians. Now, it's not just us saying this. Oh, no. Oh, no. Someone that we've quoted a lot on this, Mr. David Icke. What's he say about it?
The soccer player turned British Alex Jones. Is that fair?
Pre-Alex Jones. I mean,
what's
he
his
was,
fitness
he was
level?
Kind of, he was a soccer player.
Brent, pull some pictures up. Let's go over this.
He's a pretty good. He's in pretty good shape even to this day. I just think it's silly. Two fat guys going, I don't think I should buy stuff from him. He's thinner than us.
Why are we saying it in a Brooklyn accent all of a sudden?
I say everything in a Brooklyn
He's
accent.
He's thinner than us.
I buy things based on their ability to do them, not my ability to do them. I don't buy from an HVAC guy because I know how to fix the air conditioner.
Wait, so who do you buy all of your fitness pills from?
People that are...
Brent?
Isn't it obvious I don't buy fitness pills?
Tell us about David Icke.
David Icke
is
not
be a soccer player.
Was a soccer player and does not sell fitness pills. He's a former Green Party activist as well, and has long declared his theory about the world being run by evil dictators who are distantly related to our lizard friends.
Oh my God, people! Take some time after you listen to this and just Google David Icke and fall down that rabbit hole. It is astounding the claims that he makes and sticks with. And this cat tours all across the globe. You can go and watch these speeches that he's done over the years, and it is crazy.
Actually, I would suggest starting off by going to the old Hysteria 51 catalog and pulling up that Reptilians episode.
That's true.
There's a lot of data in there.
Yeah, that's right.
Icke also maintains that the Bilderberg Group has a major influence over the European Union. He said, we have a European Union, centralized bureaucratic dictatorship, thanks to the Bilderberg Group and its manipulation over decades. Here's a little bit more of David Icke from outside of one of the Bilderberg meetings.
What it is simply, what we've been saying all these years is if you look at the corporations and the banks and the governments and the political parties, in the end, they're all controlled by the same people. They're different masks on the same face. And here we have the absolute living proof of that.
He's screeching that at Alex Jones.
I think
right?
He's just jealous he hasn't been invited.
That's true.
So David Icke, he didn't mention lizard people once there. He actually, in these later years, doesn't talk about the lizard people as much.
He's pulling a Bill Cooper.
He is a little bit.
He's pulling a Bill Cooper.
Yeah.
These guys start, people start listening, and then more people start listening, and they go, maybe I need to tone it back a little bit.
That missing 411 guy doesn't let anybody know that he used to research Bigfoot.
Yeah. Ad nauseum.
Right,
yeah.
Right. No, I'm not the Bigfoot guy. You take me seriously. David Icke doesn't want, I mean, but come on, you're David Icke, man. Like, literally, when people say reptilians, they think David Icke. You're never getting away from that.
No.
Next, we have the big one. This is the conspiracy of conspiracies when it comes to the Bilderberg Group, the one that most people believe in if they believe in a conspiracy tied to the Bilderberg Group.
Which, it rings true when you look at it. It makes sense. The NWO.
The New World Order.
So in 2000, British politician Dennis Healey, who'd been involved in the Bilderberg for decades, told The Guardian, to say we're striving for a one world government is exaggerated, but not wholly unfair. Those of us in Bilderberg felt we couldn't go on forever fighting one another for nothing and killing people and rendering millions homeless. So we felt that a single community throughout the world would be a good thing. Now, on paper, that sounds very poignant and very pretty. But then when you throw all the scariness that comes behind the thoughts and then you repeat that.
It sounds poignant and pretty.
And you pull Scott Hall and Kevin Nash into the group.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it's also somewhat of an admittance of what everyone's saying.
It's a big admittance.
But with those four words, but not wholly unfair.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, we were talking about on the way out here, John, like David Rockefeller has basically said the exact same thing in different words. Like, if you're accusing us of looking to create, you know, order and efficiencies in the world for businesses to work globally. We absolutely are doing
guilty
that.
As charged.
But when you're looking at all these people from all these different powers that be, you're essentially looking at a shadow world government, kind of, which is taking control over the national sovereignty of various countries in order to impose their own will. When you have so many of these people coming to these things and talking about things that we will never know about.
So in the future, they wish to take this secret one world government to the next level and just get rid of governments.
Yeah.
So how would they do that? How would they do that?
Well, the Bilderberg Group plans to take over the world using a two-pronged, which is also the end of a reptilian's tongue, like the two prongs, approach to heavy militarization and control the world's finances. Number one, you touched on this, NATO is believed to be one of the primary instruments that they use, their military coalition, to ensure perpetual war and nuclear blackmail. So in order to engage fear and allow for policies which can assert complete control over all the citizens of the world and their relative societies.
So do you think that CERN is then just one of their weapons?
Obviously.
Yeah.
CERN is absolutely.
So, by the way, something just occurred to me that's a little bit weird. I've never thought about this before. So Alex Jones goes around and yaps on and on about drain the swamp. American government is broke. Get rid of it. And then he goes, they're trying to get rid of government and create a one world situation. Like, which is it, bro?
Right.
Whichever one is getting ratings that day.
Right.
Yeah, but in addition to this, though, the membership plans to establish complete control over the financial institutions of the world, as they believe that is the route, and I can agree with that too, to absolute control.
We could make trillions.
Why make trillions when we could make billions?
They adhere strongly to the words of the notorious patriarch Amschel Rothschild, who once said, give me control of the nation's money and I care not who makes its laws.
So there you go. To me, that is what breaks down this entire conspiracy theory right there, is the concept that Rothschild and these other bankers, you know, the J.P. Morgan lineage is often, you know, talked about as being some of the early members of the group. J.P. some Pierpont, people like that, like to believe that somehow they would come together and say, yeah, we'll work in harmony, as opposed to sit there and be like, yeah, we're going to have a bank and I'm going to effing control the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, right. I don't buy that this can go anywhere, because like, who's going to get to control it then? Because these aren't people. These are not communists. These
too
are
many
people who want to run the show.
Right. Too many interests in the room.
Right. Too many roosters in the in-house. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way. Like, I could definitely buy the concept of, like, taking, you know, the you know, technology-type people of today and extrapolating that into, like, okay, yeah, they are going to work together to sort of, like, be this elite class. That I could buy. I can't buy it when you start pulling in these heavy financiers and old money groups and stuff like that. Like, I just don't buy it. Like, they want control.
I completely agree from the perspective of it being a large cabal.
Right.
Literally working towards a one world government.
Yeah. Yeah.
Acast powers some of the world's best podcasts. Here's a show we recommend.
Hello, everyone. I'm Danny Pellegrino.
I'm Jenna Brister.
And we are back for season two of a very merry, iconic podcast. We're going to be diving into your favorite holiday movies, recapping them, and going on a few tangents.
Yes, and it's the end of the world as we know it. So why not close out 2020 with a bunch of episodes of Holiday Recap with us?
So we hope everyone grabs a cup of eggnog.
And a fistful of candy.
Cook that bird in
Doritos.
The
Doritos. We don't care what you're into. Just join us.
Grab your bed wine. Grab your couch cocoa. We're getting lit on the holiday movies. We'll be doing 10 recap episodes. So subscribe to A Very Merry Iconic Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. And find us on social media at A Very Merry Iconic Podcast on Instagram. And we'll have all the updates there.
Acast recommends.
that doesn't ring true because they all lose power there.
Yeah, I think that's where it's hard to support the extreme of the one world government.
Right.
I think that's why
people go into this. Well, they're reptilians or stuff like that. They're puppet masters.
That's what I was getting at. Is I can't believe this because they're not human. It's the smoking gun. They are clearly reptilians. They clearly live inside the Earth and have satellites on the hollow moon.
Reptile wins. Fatality.
My look at it is kind of twofold. There's two parts that stick out to me. Not acting in the interests of the whole. So they're not acting in the interests of everyone, all these nations. They're acting in the interests of these people that are at these events. And number two, a one world government we're talking about. And we talked about that Dennis Healy quote. But it bears repeating, I think. So I'm going to go over it real quick. To say we're striving for one world government is exaggerated, but not wholly unfair. Those of us in the Bilderberg Group felt we could go on forever fighting one another for nothing and killing people and rendering millions homeless. So I felt that a single community throughout the world would be a good thing. That, I can't help but thinking, is probably a priority of theirs. I in my mind, I don't know, but I really can see them. And it doesn't even have to be a nefarious or evil thing, but they can't. Yeah. They can look at it and go, I think we would be better.
Efficiency.
Step back. Let's pretend that there's no fighting over religion or anything.
Oh,
like
I thought
that.
You were just telling me literally to step back from you.
Yeah, step back a little bit. Smells getting
there. Why do you get so close to him, John, he's talking?
It's my Guatemalan-ness, my natural heat.
Where's your left hand?
It might be his left, but it feels like a right.
Hello.
It feels right. Hey, so the thing is it a bad thing? I don't know. I don't know if it's bad for these people to get together and dream, but where I draw the line is these people that are supposed to not be in power and they're not the heads of state. They're just people of power, have lobbyists in political positions that are fundamentally changing the landscape of politics and law and things that we have. And they are the people with the most money in the world coming together and saying, yeah, I think I can run this a little bit better. That's scary because there you don't have the checks and balances of the people that are being voted in to make our decisions for us. You just have the people that bought their way in there. Now they might be, like you said, Rockefeller. Hey, yeah, I'm doing a good job. Why don't you let me keep doing it? Well, that's kind of out of our control. How far down the rabbit hole this goes, it's anyone's guess. We can't say for sure. You can make shit up and you can stab at it, but it's scary nonetheless to think of, you know, how much control they actually probably do have just through the money they have lobbying and things like that. When Bill Clinton and nobody shows up and then immediately becomes president, when Tony Blair, all these people, and it happens over and over and over again, they either got a crystal ball or they're got a pretty good outlook on things. Where are you headed, John?
Well, I definitely don't believe in the New World Order. But, you know, they always say truth is stranger than fiction, that old saying, that old chestnut. Mm-hmm. And I think that one might apply here. We sort of talked about this a lot earlier in the show. I don't love the behind the scenes nature of it. When you've got that many big corporations that do have a responsibility to their shareholders, that do have a responsibility to the public in many cases, that do have a responsibility to the people whose money they hold, and you have politicians that have a responsibility to their constituencies, doing so much back channel chatting, so much back channel lobbying, I'm sure, just behind closed doors. You know, the First Amendment was created for a reason, right? And part of that is the freedom of the press.
No, it wasn't.
And you know, time and time
it's
again,
not a whim.
When time and time again, when the freedom of the press has been challenged, it's upheld by the Supreme Court because it's checks and balances. The press keeps people in line, and that's the shining the light of day. The press is meant to shine the light of day into what government is doing to make sure they stay in line. And when we don't have that light, weird things happen. And I think the problem with the Bilderberg Group, no, I don't think they're the secret cabal, in a a Skull Mountain somewhere doing horrible things. I think they're doing exactly what they say they're doing, which might be the scariest part.
Yeah. You don't have to think you're doing something evil for it to kind of be evil.
Correct.
You know, you don't think they can think they're helping people out, and in the long run, they're not. Or maybe they are. But unfortunately, we don't know, and that's the scary part.
You convince yourself you're doing the right thing. I have a responsibility to my stockholders.
Yeah.
That's the classic one you always hear. Yeah, but you also have a responsibility to, like, to be a good human being.
Yeah.
So who... Joe's on the fence about that.
Maybe he can come back.
That's good.
I'm warming up to him a little bit.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, though. This is what's weird to me. Like, at first blush, it seems to me, what came into my mind, I was like, you know how people always, like, get all obsessed with, like, every year, like, LeBron James and Carmelo Anthony and Dwayne Wade, like, decide to go and, you know, they gather up 10 or 12 other of the biggest basketball stars in the world, and they just, like, hang out at a gym somewhere and play some pickup games, and there's no cameras and there's nothing going on because you're the most recognizable people in the world. At some point, you want to just shut that off and hang out with your peers. And at first, I look at something like this and I read the list of the people that are there, you know, this year and stuff, and I'm like, you know what? It's probably really hard. Like, if I'm Peter Thiel, I can't talk about my opinion on something without the majority of the room jotting all of it down and running away and acting on it, because you are the biggest, heaviest hitter in investing in America in technology.
Right.
So, like, it's got to be, in a way, refreshing to say, oh, cool, I have access to these other cool people. Let's go hang out and talk about some stuff.
Right.
And it'd be cool. But then, where I get caught up in it is less so even than, you know, what John you were talking about, but I agree with you. But I think there's this piece of it where it's like, well, you do that and it does make rational sense, but then you go and you look at things, and we want to think that everyone's rational, but they're not. And it's not just hillbillies and weirdos. Or hillbillies and, you know, like, lower class people that do really weird random stuff, like join cults. Like, you go and you find out about
Bohemian Grove.
Did you guys run across that when you were doing
your
research?
You can't not. And
you see, and I mean, I hate giving Alex Jones credit. Like, I hate it. But
he was right about that one.
The dude got in there and got videos of stuff.
He wasn't exactly right. I was listening to John Ronson on Joe Rogan's podcast.
Yeah.
And John Ronson's like, so there we were. We're at Bohemian Grove. We get in there. Kudos to Alex Jones. He helped get us in there.
That's the thing.
We make it in. There's this crazy shit going on. There's no need to trump up anything that's going on because it is nuts. And the moment we get out of there, he goes and makes a video about how they're sacrificing kids. And it's like, that didn't happen.
Well, that's not what I'm giving him credit for, but I'm giving him...
They were adults.
But I'm giving him... right. But I'm giving him credit for actually getting in and getting video of this stuff.
Right.
I can't not. I hate to do it, but I can't not give him credit. But you see this stuff and you're like, wait a minute. These super rich, powerful, influential people that we all look up to and read their books and go pay money to see them speak and write it down and go try to build our businesses around it. And it's like, why are they dressed up in, like, goat head costumes,
burning effigies,
and, like, stuff? And then my favorite part is when Alex Jones confronted them about it and said, what is all this stuff? Their answer was, well, we like to worship and pay homage to the redwoods in the area. It's like, that's not better. You did not
just make the situation better.
We're going off on a tangent here.
But my point is, my point is exactly this, though. Just because they're these influential people who I want to sympathize with as human beings, they're also just as weird and messed up.
They're human.
As commoners like us.
They are
human.
So
it's like, obviously, there is something going on
behind
the scenes.
Think of what you would do, John and Joe, if you had all that money. They have it and do it. That's the big thing. So you know what? You might try to pull control. That's what a lot of people do.
I bet you... they don't, and no one on earth would do the things that I would do if I had that kind of money.
What would you do, Hysteria Nation? What do you guys think about this whole secret cabal of the Bilderberg Group, and what parts of it did you think we should have touched on, or what parts do you believe that maybe we kind of poo-pooed on? How can they let us know, John?
Hop on Hysteria Nation. Go to Facebook, search Hysteria Nation. That is our discussion group.
Also, don't forget, hop on Twitter at Hysteria51Pod. You can go to Instagram, look up Hysteria51Podcast.
You can also just follow us on Facebook for all the new episodes, facebook.com/Hysteria51Pod.
Patreon, you can go on there, patreon.com/Hysteria51. Every week we release new shows, be it radio dramas, up all nights, things like that. Always new content coming your way.
We are very close to our goal. When we hit our goal, every patron, up to and including the dollar patrons, will be able to be heard on this show. More details to come, but you will hear your voice on this show.
And you
show.
Get everything, all the extra episodes, everything for $1. So that's exciting.
And if you'd like to hear your voice on this show before then,
in a different way,
leave us a voicemail. 773-669-7277.
You like that? That was in unison.
That was scary for the listener.
That's called stereo.
I hope you didn't have the volume turned up too high.
Again, that's 773-669-7277. Also, if you forget any of these links, you can find them all on hysteria51.com. Go there when you're excited and you love the site. Tell a friend about it. Teach them how to get there. It just feels right.
It feels very right.
Joe, it does feel very right. But what doesn't feel very right is having you
me
on the
show. Me being back on, yeah.
Yeah, we're probably gonna have to pull the plug on that.
It's been fun.
It's been real. It's been fun. It's not been real fun.
Oh!
Hey!
Oh.
Wait, where's the Bigfoot groaner button?
And by the way, I was nervous we weren't gonna get it, but we just got at the tail end. Brent doing his walking.
Yeah, you guys miss it. You know, we don't have a camera. They miss
usually
a lot of
it goes along with the Brooklyn accent.
Oh, hey, it's a good thing we don't have cameras because they don't need to see the stupid crap. I act out a lot of the things I say on this show to the chagrin of a lot of the people in the room. Both of you.
Yeah, but
all of them.
Well, you know.
The people, yeah. And then, as we've established, the robot is not a person.
Not a person, according to the EU.
That's an F you, not an EU from me.
Yeah, that's
fair.
That's our opinion on this nation. With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been Joe.
I've been John.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.